Well, hello again and welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok, the world lost former child star turned international diplomat Shirley Temple today at age 85. She's the world's most famous child star, the darling of the Depression era, getting moviegoers through hard times with her optimism and enthusiasm on screen. In her later life, she became a diplomat, serving as a UN delegate and as UN ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Ghana and to Czechoslovakia. She's also credited with opening up a national dialogue about breast cancer in 1972, encouraging women to come out and talk about it when it was a taboo subject. She had a mastectomy at the time, held a press conference in her hospital room afterward. She was truly an inspiration to many. What do you remember most about her? What do you remember most about Pete? What do you remember most about Seymour Hoffman, Philip Seymour Hoffman? What do you think about people who are really, you know, in the public eye, but who you relate to in some way? I'll talk to you about that as soon as I give the number. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also get in touch with us online. You can see all the ways to do that at wamc.org/voxpop. So my friends, I'd love to have you join us in this discussion of famous people and who meant something to you. I've been thinking a lot about people who have problems, and who surmount them. Really great. You see people who are addicted. You see Philip Seymour Hoffman, and you wonder about what he meant to different people. Apparently, he had licked his addiction for a long time. Either that's true or not. But are you sympathetic to him? Are you sympathetic to somebody who would have all of those assets, and yet because of the same human frailties we all have? We all have them. There's no question about it. I once went to a doctor years and years ago, a neurologist, and he said, "You think you have problems?" And I said, "Yep." He said, "You think your problems are greater than other people's problems?" And I said, "Oh yeah." And he said, "Do you think other people have problems?" I said, "Not really." He said, "The next guy who comes up to you and says that they don't have a problem, look him in the eye." And then I can't use the word on the radio. I said, "But tell him he's full of whatever dirt." And so, there are a lot of people who relate to the problems of stars, and some people have sympathy for them. Some people have nothing but contempt. I saw an awful article in a paper the other day about Hoffman and how, you know, he had no right to do that. But addiction is a terrible problem. People get addicted. Some get addicted to food. Some get addicted to sex. Some get addicted to whatever. But the fact of the matter is, these are the people who are out there and who we often, take some social cues from. 1-800-348-2551. When it came to Pete, he was my hero. No two ways about it. Was he a perfect human being? He would never have said that. He would have told you he wasn't. And had said that to me. But he was as perfect as I was going to find. And there are always people today. There's a piece in the paper about Hillary Clinton and the fact that there's new information coming out about what she thought about her own role in Bill's sexual escapades. It's interesting that 50% of the marriages in America don't stay together, more than 50%. Hers did. What is the capacity? Who do we see? Does the fact that she's out there saying these kinds of things relate to how we see ourselves, how you see yourself? I remember 1-800-348-2551. I remember watching all the old Shirley Temple films when I was a kid growing up and loving them. There was one called The Princess, I think it was, and it was about how, you know, she falls on hard times when her father goes into the army, and it ends with Queen Victoria touring the hospital and helping her find her long-lost father. Well, to some people, it's sappy stuff. I mean, you know, there are the film critics who think that they are above anything else. But then there's the masses of people who can really relate to that kind of thing, or any of the Freddie Bartholomew pictures and the rest. So who do you think about who's gone, that's gone now? An Elizabeth Taylor or Marilyn Monroe? You know, one of the great tragedies of our times is this beautiful, beautiful woman who was objectified unlike anybody else, I think, probably in the history of the country, and really just meant so much to people who had that identity. Women who, am I being treated as chattel, or will people love me for my own integrity and for who I am, as opposed to for my celebrity? What did they all mean to you? Does it mean anything if somebody lived to 95 or 94, or somebody died at 43? What do we make of the length of a life? You know, the outpouring of affection for Pete during the fun drive, when people were calling one after another, and saying, I saw Pete this time or that time, and here's what he meant to me. And my mailbox is still filled with people who want to send me records or photos, one photo after another of a younger Pete standing with somebody, or with his banjo, or out in the field. Amazing, amazing what people can mean. So the phones are beginning to ring, but we'll be on with you in a minute. 1-800-348-2551. So what does celebrity mean in America? Why is it that you can go into homes to this day with everything we know about Jack Kennedy, his father helping to buy the election, and all of the womenizing and everything else, and yet you can see Jack Kennedy's picture up on a wall somewhere? What is it about, you know, the legend? And I absolutely know that Bruce Herbeck, who is our wonderful telephone answerer, will get your name right up there, and we'll be able to talk to you in just a second. 1-800-348-2551. There are still two free phones. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is your show. It's the Vox Pop. It's the Vox Pop. And, just tell our wonderful Bruce what it is that is interesting to you about all of this, and we'll get it right up there. Okay, I see now. I already was there. Okay, let's go to Bill. All right, Bill in Rosendale, go ahead.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
How you doing?
Well, I'm good.
Hi. Well, before I mention Pete, I wanted to say that I don't know if it hasn't been covered on the news much, but Shirley Temple was also a congresswoman. And she actually spoke at my high school. I think it was like 1959 or something.
I didn't remember that. That must have passed me by. I'm sorry, Bill. I thank you for telling us that. So,
Well, when I think of Pete, my first memory was as a 13-year-old kid, fresh off the bus at a left-wing camp in Michigan, Circle Pines, and he was there singing for the campers on the front lawn, and that evening he did a concert with Big Bill Brunzi.
Hmm.
And as soon as I got home, I got a banjo and a guitar, and I started imitating Pete and thinking I was Pete for a certain period.
That's so interesting, because it's exactly what happened to me. Exactly. Butch Rock Road Camp, 14 years old. Go ahead.
Right. And so eventually I found my own voice. actually partly thanks to his brother Mike, who more or less introduced me to traditional American music.
Yep.
And not that Pete didn't do that. It was just more of a focus. So I began, you know, getting involved in all that, and eventually became a touring folk singer on the road, and met Livia and kind of stayed in touch with Pete, and over the years got to know him a little bit. And then with Livia, we moved near his daughter, Mika, and then became close with the family.
Amazing.
So we were just in India, and
I know you
heard
just
of
got
his
back.
Death.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I knew that we heard of his death in the hospital. We knew he was ill before we even left, but and so we dedicated a concert to him.
Well, that's great. Hey, Bill, I thank you for the call. We're going to take a short break, and then we're coming back with some other folks. So thank you for starting us off. I thought nobody might. Thank you, Bill.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Equimotion, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, working to improve life for horses, equine massage clinics throughout the region. EquimotionEDU.com. And MySci, Museum of Innovation and Science, presenting butterflies, opening February 15th through April 7th. Discover multicolored native butterflies in the museum's new indoor butterfly house, MISCI.org.
And we are back. Let's go immediately to Don in Great Barrington. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the number 1-800-348-2551. Love to hear who mattered to you and why, who's gone now, a major, you know, public figure. Thanks a lot. And here we go to Don in Great Barrington. Welcome back, Don. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. When I was a kid, I remember my father saying something one time when we had an opportunity to move out to California, and he'd get a really fine position out there. And we lived in a small town in Pennsylvania, and Dad was very highly respected, a wonderful guy. Everybody loved him. And he said, it's better to stay here and be a big fish in a small town than a small bowl or a small sea, than to go out there and be the little fish in a big. And it's so true. And I think that applies to within our own environments. We have big fishes in our own family, our own parents, and people that we respect highly. And then we look to people like Shirley Temple, with whom I grew up with her on the screen, and Elizabeth Taylor, my first crush. And we sometimes perhaps get carried away with how important these people are in our lives. They were here. They served us in their what they were appointed to do, which is to entertain us. But and then, like all of us, they're human and they passed away. So we love the memories, and but we should not forget or
no. But that's not what this show is about now, Don. What this show is about is relating to people. It's a good advisory. I think you're well within your, you know, rights to do that. But what I'm looking for now, is there one person in history that you feel that, you know, you really do miss, or that you really meant a lot to you?
I'd say my parents. My parents.
No. I mean of, you know, public note.
There are so many of them, we couldn't get along without them. And
well, pick one.
FDR.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea.
My mother and my father cried when he passed away.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much.
I can understand. Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Alan.
Okay.
Bye.
1-800-348-2551. Phones are ringing now. Let's see. Glenn called. Glenn came to the website and emailed. It's been 18 years. I miss him every day. Good job on the fun drive. Thanks, Ed. Talking about Jerry Garcia. And And Stephanie said, what I've taken from the deaths of Pete Seeger and Nelson Mandela is that I was lucky to live in their world. And it's up to me to do what I can to keep the world alive. Thanks, Stephanie. It's exactly what the kind of thing I was looking for. Let's go to Evelyn in Catskill. Okay, Evelyn, 1-800-348-2551. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Well, pretty good.
Listen, I am 85 just recently, so I grew up with the Shirley Temple era.
Yeah.
And every time, this was in Virginia, near Petersburg, Virginia, and when her movies would open, the big department store there would reserve one large window and have nothing in it but the new Shirley Temple dresses.
Interesting.
My mother was a seamstress and made all of my clothes when I was growing up, so we would catch the streetcar and we'd go downtown. And she would, while holding my hand, you know, she would look at the window and she'd pick out one of the dresses each time and just stand there long enough to memorize it. Then we'd catch the streetcar, go home, and out of the brown paper grocery bags, she'd split one or two of them open, create her own pattern, make the dress, do the smocking, because that used to be a big thing on little girls' clothes way back then. The top front of the dress had smocking on it. And she'd complete that, make matching bloomers to go with it. And then she would dress me in this little outfit, and we'd go back downtown later in the week and stand there in front of the window, and she'd look at the one in the window and look at the one on me that she had handmade, and she was just positive hers was better. And while we would be standing there, other ladies would come by, and they would say, oh, look, she's got one of those Shirley Temple dresses.
Great. That's a great story. That's a great story. Let me ask you, what is smocking? You said smocking.
Darling, it's a type of stitching that looks like fancy gathering. And it would be like a cross where the top part of your chest is, you know. And it was just a way of making the dress have a little extra design to it, you know.
Hey, Evelyn, I have to say this to you. You started it because there's five phones ringing. You want to give everybody a chance. And thanks for that wonderful, wonderful memory. That's a great story.
I know. It's a wonderful memory for me with my mother.
Thanks, dear.
Bye, darling.
Yeah. Okay. So 1-800-348-2551, that opens up a phone. Let's go to Hedvig in Hudson. Is it Hedvig?
Hi. Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited to be able to speak about this.
Great.
Get right to the point. Last summer, I went to the Clearwater Festival.
Yep.
Actually, I think it was your campaign, and I got a premium for that, right?
Right.
Anyway, I went because I've never actually, all my life, I'm 74 years old now, and all my life I never actually saw him in person. But I went because he'd be there, and I somehow knew it would be my last chance to pay my respects to him, and I did.
Did you get to talk to him?
I'll tell you what happened exactly. I knew I didn't want to thank him for all he had done. He didn't need to be thanked any more than, say, Gandhi or Martin Luther King.
He was very shy about that stuff. He really was.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he didn't need that. He just did what was his to do. So when I spoke to him, I simply said, Pete, you changed the world. Now, you see, in a generation of people coming of age in the mid-20th century, which I was a member, were hell-bent on finding authenticity in our lives and in ourselves and our politics and in our future. And what Pete did was, as part of that, he focused that desire for all of us and showed us it was possible. He was one of the great souls, and he did. He changed the world.
Yeah, but you know, you mentioned something that is so interesting to me. I've been shocked because, you know, we did a whole week of tribute to Pete. Just now, and I've been shocked at the kinds of people who related to Pete. I mean, after all, Pete was a socialist, he was on the left, but I keep meeting people who veer to the right or even are on the right who thought this was the most magnificent man who had ever walked. And so I think that there was this sort of hidden, I don't know how to put this, but hidden society that revolved around the Pete values. That's what's so amazing.
Well, you know, it wasn't so hidden. And I'll say again, the zeitgeist of that generation was the hell-bent on authenticity. That's what we wanted. That's where we were going. That's what everything had to mean. And that's what he gave us.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to argue with you because, after all, it's your call. But there's another side to that also. I mean, we still created a society based on some very false values. We objectified women. We did this. We did that in Madison Avenue. And yet there was Pete for those of us who really connected with that. So
I didn't say the whole society was hell-bent on authenticity. I said there were those in it who were.
Yes.
That was a strong movement,
that's right.
Those are the ones, we were the ones who Pete led in a way spiritually to show us that that was a possibility. And he focused it. He showed us how it was done.
Right you are. Hey, gotta go. Thank you so much. I appreciate your call. Okay, let's go to Edward, okay? Edward in Bearsville. Okay, Edward.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You've been walking out in the woods with the bears?
Well, they're pretty quiet right now.
Yeah,
so.
They're asleep, yeah.
Yeah, but there's quite a few around here during the summer, for sure.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I was sort of, the topic is very interesting to me just because, you know, as you started off in talking just about death in general and celebrity, and one thing that I started kind of losing people at a fairly young age, my early adolescence, and kind of consistently did for a while, and something that was very interesting to me was how I started noticing how people, when someone passed, would always flock, or there was almost a race or competition, in a sense, to tell their story, and how their story was, how they were somehow closer to that person, or that they were the one of the last ones to see them. And I think it's interesting when celebrities pass, how that gets magnified on such a huge scale, and everyone just wants to, you know, on the one, you know, just tell their story and be a part of that. Almost, it seems very social to me, but it bizarre at the same time.
Why bizarre?
Because the almost competitive nature, as I had mentioned, of it is just they're very, it's almost possessive. Mm-mm. You know, like, this was my, it was more mine than yours.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. It's why I kept saying during the fun drive,
yeah,
you know, that Pete belonged to everybody and that no one really knew him better than the next guy. I thought that there was some of that, but not as much as I would have expected, you know. So yeah, I think you're right. I think you make a very good point.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon to me that I find, it continues to, you know, as I get older, you tend to start losing more people, and that's a consistent thing that seems to always be there. And,
Edward, it's a very interesting point. I thank you for making it. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate
it. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for taking the call.
Bye. Let's go to James in Hudson. James, you're on.
Okay, someone who passed away, I think in the last year, maybe a year ago, Marion McPartland used to have her show on the radio.
Indeed we did.
And I don't even like jazz, but she came to my high school when I was a middle school, I think, actually, when I was a, you know, teenager.
And where was that? Where was that, James?
Rochester. Penfield. And, she was the kindest, nicest person I ever met, and she was just so, and she just played the most beautiful music.
And you could hear it on the radio, right? I mean, you could hear it when she was interviewing her guests, or she was so kind to everybody. She came here, you know, to the Linda.
Yeah.
She was great.
The nicest person I ever met, and she was just, to go to a little, you know, cruddy high school in you know, a suburb of Rochester.
Yep.
She was just the nicest person ever.
Yeah.
So that's the person I remember. And I've never thought of shaking someone's hand that I remember so much.
Yeah, you know, she really is magnificent. And again, you know, I think sometime, I'm not going to mention celebrities, but there are some celebrities you say, boy, that guy may or that woman may not be the nicest person in the world. But when you heard her, you know, it really just came through. And I would have been the most surprised.
No, absolutely.
I would have been the most surprised person in the world if it turned out she wasn't what we thought of her. Hey, great.
But she was.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to let you go to the next caller. Person.
Thank you, James.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay, that leaves one free phone up. Let's go to Dan in Fishkill. Okay, Dan in Fishkill, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Great.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, we're here.
Hi. Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks for taking my call,
sure.
Alan.
Great.
Yeah, losing Nelson Mandela and Pete within a couple months of each other like this, really weeks of each other, it was a 1-2 punch. But as one of the earlier callers said, at least we had them for a long time, and we should be thankful for that. What it's had me thinking about a lot is one of the scarring or profound moments of my youth. When I was 14 years old in the spring of 68, we lost Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy within a 7-week span, I think it was, 6 or 7 week span. And to this day, I can remember waking up, getting ready to go to junior high school, and hearing on the clock radio that Robert Kennedy had been shot, and weeks after Martin Luther King had been shot, and it just like a punch in the gut. I can remember it to this day, and I'm obviously much, much older now. But you asked about the passing of a famous person, and that's the one that's probably affected me in the most profound way.
Well, King, I certainly get. Tell me about your feelings about Bobby Kennedy. I mean, this is a complicated man.
Oh, sure. And at the time, I was only 14 years old. Like I said, I was really just developing my social consciousness, and political views. So I can remember even liking Eugene McCarthy more than Robert Kennedy, but Robert Kennedy had that charisma. As you said, people have pictures of Jack Kennedy in their living room. I have one.
Yeah.
And that was another thing that made me pick up the phone and call when you said that, because I have a good picture of the Kennedys in my house, and that's in spite of some of the things you mentioned about Kennedy that weren't so flattering. And Robert Kennedy was complicated, but he was a great charismatic man, and he could have done so much.
Snuffed
out.
Oh, yeah. It really does get you thinking about why him.
Yeah.
Really a good point. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Alan, for the time.
Okay. If I could only read. I can't read. Let's go to Peter in Troy. Peter in Troy, you're on.
Hello, Alan.
Hey.
How are you? I wanted to add one name to the mix here, something that I immediately thought of when I heard the topic today, which was Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers'
Neighborhood. Oh, absolutely. Great call.
I'm 49 years old, and I was probably close to 40 when he died, and I got to admit to having shed a tear that day.
Interesting.
And it still makes me a little emotional thinking about it now.
Yeah.
He was a hero.
He was another
one. A generation of kids.
No question. Wonderful man.
A paragon of kindness and peace and just like a lovely human being.
Yeah. Well, you are certainly right, and ran against type.
Yep.
In other words, he was not a huckster or a hypester. He was just a genuinely soft-spoken, decent man, and kids adored him, adored him.
Yeah, I think that we probably all felt like we lost a friend, even though none of us really had ever met him.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to add that. I've thought of him many times in the past 10 years since he's gone.
What an important call. Thank you so much, Peter.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551, three free phones. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Curran Compliance Service, LLC, Greenwich, New York. Legal and consulting services on regulatory issues for life insurance and annuity manufacturers and distributors. CurranCompliance.com. And Adirondack Folk School, Lake Luzerne, New York, dedicated to teaching the arts, crafts, and culture of the Adirondack region. AdirondackFolkSchool.org.
Okay, now we have until the end of the show. So let's go to Brian in Kingston, but not before I remind you it's 1-800-348-2551. Okay, Brian in Kingston, you're on.
Hey there. Good afternoon, Alan.
So glad you're
here. I may be coming late, so I know this famous people that may have passed away.
Sure,
and of course,
sure.
Pete Seeger was a tremendous sure. inspiration and will be a lasting inspiration to me. But I have to say, within the last year, I lost both my parents.
Uh-huh.
And we're in the process now of going sorting through their things, and I'm discovering things I never knew about them before, and letters that they exchanged and other things, and just creative side of my father that I didn't know really existed.
You know, Brian, I'll be honest with you. I said this to somebody earlier, and I mean no disrespect by this. I'm going to do a full show on what people remember about their parents. I think it's
right.
a great idea.
But, no, I know. I just throwing it in there. That's, but of course, Pete, and one of my favorite quotes from Pete Seeger,
yeah.
if I round around back, was the bringing people together, about bringing people together,
sure.
and, you know, just... bringing people together is the essential thing, you know, and
sure.
while there, you know, hope for the world is a participation. I heard him saying that in that documentary on PBS,
sure.
that participation will save the human race.
One of my favorite Pete Seeger quotes is, look at your neighbor, and if he isn't singing, kick him in the ribs and get him singing too. One of my favorites.
Well, he hasn't heard me sing. He never heard me sing.
No,
so
he would
that.
Always say there were no non-singers. He'd always say there were no non-singers.
Anyway, like I said, just both things that, you know,
well,
that
kind of
go hand in glove.
Thanks,
right?
thanks for adding that, Brian. Thank you very
yeah.
much. 1-800-348-2551. And we go to perhaps it's, well, let me get real close. Yeah, I think it's Wayne. Is it Wayne? Hi up there.
This is Wayne.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, go ahead, Wayne. You're on.
Well, one of my favorite memories of Pete came yeah. towards the end of his life, but it also coincided with a little bone to pick with you. But first, some preparatory remarks is that my appreciation of Pete evolved over the years. Goes back until, you know, maybe the 60s or when I was just transitioning from rock music to first folk music revival, which was mostly largely commercial folk. And then around that time, I heard him with the more traditional folk music, and I started developing appreciation on the music level.
Yeah.
And then later, I got in college and started studying politics more, and my politics moved out of moderate range, more to the liberals' left side, and I started reading about Joe McCarthy. And around that time, the Smothers Brothers were
right.
sort of banned from television. And
right.
then I started reading more and heard about Pete's involvement and how he went through a lot of hassles and with his music being banned for quite a while. And then I got involved in working on environmental issues, and I became a appreciated for his environmental commitment. And before the environmental stuff, I got involved in the labor movement and became very appreciative for all the work that he did for labor, organized labor and unorganized labor. And towards the end of my life, he was up here in Albany, or I'm not in Albany now, but in Albany doing a press conference with Mark Ruffalo and some other environmental groups on a moratorium or a ban on hydrofracking. And I was one of the people speaking at the press conference, and I was after Pete and Mark Ruffalo, and when I got up to speak, I briefly went over to Pete and just introduced myself and told him about how much of an admirer I was of him, and made my remarks that I was making him. You called him out for a radio interview, which, you know, I don't blame you that much, but...
No, actually, it was Ruffalo. Ruffalo came up here. Mark
Ruffalo
came up here.
Yeah, and Pete was there, too, at the I think was in the LOB.
No. Mark Ruffalo actually called and asked if they could be on, and Natalie asked if they could be on, and Mark came up here and was on the radio with us that day. I remembered very well.
Oh, but someone told me that Pete had been called out, and I thought it was a radio interview, but I made a mistake,
I apologize. Yeah, and my memory isn't all that great either, so it could be either way. But okay, so I thought you were going to really say something bad about me, but no. No,
it's just minor. But I'm a great admirer of your programs and shows and work you do with WAMC, and I just briefly want to mention, I think Wanda Fisher last week did a very nice tribute to him with some of his music.
No, she did. She did. Well, hey, Wayne, there's a little yellow piece of paper with everybody else's name up there, so we're going to let you go, and I thank you so much for this very good call.
One last question. Sure. Did you ever hear his John Doe album?
No.
Somebody sent me something, an article from Counterpunch this week, and talked about his John Doe album that's, I guess he didn't want to publicize too much for a while, but it was very political.
Well, people keep sending me records and things and MP3 files and all the rest of it. Amazing what he did that I didn't know about. Thank you so much, Wayne. Appreciate it.
Quite welcome. Yeah. Goodbye.
Okay, let's go to Jay in wherever, Woodstock. Jay, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I have a comment I wanted to make about Shirley Temple and another one about Pete. I'm 87, and when I was a boy, I recall reading that Shirley Temple was given the very first Social Security number that was issued.
That's fascinating.
Then.
That's fascinating. She certainly was young enough for it. And it makes some sense. She was, of course, a Republican. We know that. And
details.
Or as my mom would say, but the best of that kind. And she was a very courageous lady. We talked about her, you know, having publicized breast cancer the way that she did. She served in the State Department in some key positions. Was just a very interesting person.
Well, I was very struck by her getting the number one. I'd like to make a quick comment about Pete. Like everybody else, I heard him for years on recordings. The first time I ever saw him live was at Longshoremen's Hall in San Francisco. And he sang a song, he said, written by a kid back in Greenwich Village. And he proceeded to do Bob Dylan's Hard Rain.
Oh, boy.
It just blew me away.
Yeah.
And then I had finally the opportunity to meet him live with a mutual friend brought me over to Newburgh to meet him. I had a 10-inch recording of the songs of the Lincoln and Abraham Lincoln Brigade.
Sure.
And I, because he plays on it and sings, and I asked him to sign it for me, which he did. And he told me that of all the recordings that he's made, that is his very favoritist. And the two of us stood in the snow near his home on the mountain and singing the songs of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. And that's just something that's touched my life so deeply.
Well, great call. Thank you so much for making it. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Okay. Let's go to Douglas in Albany. Douglas, you're on.
Hello. Yes. I was thinking as people were calling, and a couple of people mentioned that, their parents. And one of the things you'd asked in the beginning was, what is it that these people do that make us so moved by them? And I think one of the things they do is something similar to what parents do for us, which is they teach us things that are right and wrong, that they inspire us, that, you know, that on the one hand, they're leaders. But there's also something about leadership, which is something when we're very young, we look to our parents for. And people like Pete and apparently Mary McFarland, and I had met Mr. Rogers and once, and what's amazing about Pete and Mr. Rogers, I'm from Westchester and had met Pete, too, when I was little. They just look at you and they accept you like you're there.
Yeah,
and you're a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really strange, actually, in our culture, that somebody is going to talk to you as if you're really there and engage you that way. But that's also something that our parents do.
Not all parents. When,
not all parents, okay. But it's one of the good things that good parents do.
They do.
You know, you have a problem, you're a child, you come to them, and they talk to you like you're a real person.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the things that's why these people who have moved us so do. And some people are moved, you know, the man who called him JFK, RFK was shot when he was young, and it moved him.
Yeah.
And he was young. He was looking for a political leader to think about. And there is, you know, what do you do when you're 14?
But you know, RFK had evolved. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he was, you know, Joe McCarthy's counsel.
I know.
Back there when he was doing those things. But in the end, he ended up as a liberal icon. And for whatever it's worth, I don't know that he was the nicest man in the world. I just don't know that.
I don't think so.
But I do know that he meant a lot to an awful lot of people.
Yeah. No, I think with the politicians, often it has to do with that distance they're kept from us, and we allow ourselves to be inspired by them.
We project our values into them. I mean, you know, we're naming tunnels after a guy who... so-called environmentalist Hugh Carey, who stood up there with a glass of PCBs and said, I could drink these PCBs.
Why didn't he drink it?
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, I got to let you go. A lot of people want to get in. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Nancy in Adams, Massachusetts. Nancy, you're on.
Hello.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call, Alan. When someone mentioned Mr. Rogers, it brought to mind Jim Henson and the Muppets.
Oh, yeah.
And all that he did for the audiences through the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
And another one while I was waiting to go on air was Walt Disney and what he brought to children through the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
My sister's 12 years younger than me, and it was still on, but it was different characters. So she got to know the Disney that I knew and then went into the Muppets. And, of course, I had grown up and moved away.
Yeah.
But those two people played a big part in our life and our family, as did Mr. Rogers. So,
Well, I'm glad you mentioned them. And Jim Henson could still be alive today had he, you know, taken care of himself when he got cut or whatever he did.
Yeah.
And
you play a big part in our lives, too, by bringing us the radio shows that you do. So congratulations on a successful fundraising.
Well, thank you, Nancy. Appreciate it. We'll move on. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Yeah,
thanks. Bye.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Pat in Poughkeepsie. PP. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, Alan.
Yep.
This is a great show. It's so nice to have all these other names be reminded for me.
Yeah.
I do have a Pete Seeger story for you because he was one of my favorite. I have a friend, Lynn Bernstein, who was a folk singer when she was younger, and she didn't sing with Pete, but she did sing with Pete, I mean, on her own at different fundraisers. And when we heard he passed, she gave us each a picture of her with Pete. But one of her favorite stories is that there was no way for her to sing and play her harpsichord. She had to sit to play her lap harp. And she said Pete was on his knees holding the mic for her.
Sounds like
during
Pete.
Her whole,
yep.
Doesn't it? I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were.
Sounds like him.
And she said through her whole performance, and she has that picture and is hunting for it so that we all can have it and share. And thank you, Alan, for all you do to give us the best radio station anywhere.
That is so kind of you. It really is. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Sarah in Schenectady. First is Pat from Poughkeepsie, now it's Sarah from Schenectady. I'm beginning to get the picture. Okay, Sarah, you're on.
Hi, this is a story about John Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
It was 1957, myself and two girlfriends were vacationing in Hyannis, and we casually said, let's take a ride down to the compound to see what's going on. And we took our three bicycles, went down to the compound, and there was John Kennedy on the lawn just finishing up an interview with some newspaper people. And Jackie was kind of sitting in the background, and I think she was expecting John at the time. But anyway, Mr. Kennedy came down to this little picket fence that separated the people from him, and he shook our hands.
Oh,
and we had our Kennedy buffalo for a Kennedy pins on, and he asked our name and how to, you know, he was chatting with us. And, of course, we were all dying. The three of us did not have a camera, so that was a thrill for us. So I just thought I would pass that on to
what
you.
What kindness, what kindness. That's great. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
And let's go now to Kate in Kingston. Kate Kingston, love to hear from Kingston. Go ahead, Kate.
Hi. Thanks for letting me talk. Sure. I grew up in Wappingers Falls, and I was in kindergarten when Sesame Street started. And I guess Pete wasn't on until a year or two later, but in my memory, he will always be
Yeah, I remember when he was on. Yeah, yeah.
And I remember going to the very first Clearwater festivals in Poughkeepsie.
Yep.
By the river, and my littler brother being so upset seeing Pete sitting on a rock playing his guitar and singing, because how could he be there when he was in our record player and our TV?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was so sweet to him. And we just, you know, grew up with, you know, watch Pete's story. You know, you hear about Pete when you live in that part, you know, down around that near where he lived. And then a few years ago, my quite elderly mother mentioned something about Bruce Springsteen. And I said, Mom, how on earth do you know who Bruce Springsteen is? She said, well, he's that guy that played with Pete at the inauguration.
As opposed to the other way around. It was Springsteen who insisted that Pete be there. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, it was just awesome. So,
Kate, I'm going to let you go because I just want to try to shoehorn everybody in. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay, and we'll go to Cecilia in Belchertown. Cecilia, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that the morning after Pete had passed, I was sick and I had to stay home laying on the couch all day. But it was so enjoyable. I listened all day long and became so inspired by the stories. I knew some of Pete, but when people called in and tell their personal stories, and mainly I was inspired to, live more simply.
Two rooms. That's what he believed. Nobody should live in more than two rooms, and he did, I'll tell you right now. One big room with a big old cement fireplace and filled up with logs that he had chopped, big giant logs. He was amazing. Right till the end, by the way, right till the end. So,
yes, and
right.
I'm also inspired to go buy his book and learn to play the banjo.
Well, it's How to Play the Five-String Banjo, and it's a great little book. He told me once it is the thing of his that has sold the most. Inspiring, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Okay, very quickly, let's go to James in Tilson. Okay, James in Tilson, you're on.
Well, it's Tilson, but it's Janet.
Janet, I'm so sorry. It is my
eyes. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yes, thank you for taking my call. You know, I'm just thinking about James Gandolfini and Philip Seymour.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I don't have a story. Oh, I met them and have pictures and took photos. Nothing like that. But how is it that I'm so attached? You know, through their work, you look so forward to seeing what they're producing.
Yeah.
You know, and they're so young, and then they left the planet so quickly.
Well, it is true, and I have to be so unkind and so presumptuous as to tell you we're sort of out of time.
That's fine, but thank you so much.
And I'm so glad you called, and it is true. The enigma, which we started with, is why do they mean so much to us?
They do. You know, it is. We'll never see their work anymore.
Yeah.
What a loss.
One of my great heroes, of course, is Sam Waterston, and I just love his work. You just can't get enough of it. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Thank you, Biden.
Okay. We're out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in, and I guess that's it. We got everybody in, apologized to no one because no one was left on the line. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the New York State Bar Association Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years. NYSBA.org/lawyer referral. And the Lake George Mirror, covering the news of Lake George since 1880 on newsstands throughout the Lake George Basin, lakegeorgemirror.com. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. I really enjoyed today's show. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/voxpop. Our engineer has been the incomparable drum player, Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbeck. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.